George Bailey is introduced to us as a young man who saves his brother, Harry, and build things, okay? But life happens, right, to George. And poor George's plans are always getting put on hold because someone else's needs are always seems to be greater than his at the moment, okay? George always makes the choice to give up his dreams to do what needs to be done. Others do well in the story, and George, well, he just sort of gets lost in the humdrum of life, okay? George's plans first get put on hold when his dad dies. Then they get put on hold because of the Great Depression and the stock market crashes. Then his plans get put on hold by the war. And then they get put on hold because of his brother gets this great job opportunity, okay? George is always sacrificing for others. And though George is integral to the story, he's almost forgotten by those in the community. And if not forgotten, they certainly haven't taken advantage of his kindness, okay? It reminds me, the story kind of reminds me a lot of the forgotten character of the Christmas story, Joseph, okay? The earthly father of Jesus. Maybe he's not so much forgotten, but he certainly is silent, okay? Did you know that there's not a single quote attributed to Joseph in the Bible? Okay, not one. That's pretty undad-like in my opinion. Because dads are known for their great quotes, right? There's some famous great quotes out there for dads. And here are some of them. One of them is, just ask your mother, okay? Or, don't worry, it's only blood, okay? What about this one? Do I look like I'm made of money? Or, I'm sure this will be something I'll deal with my boys. Hey, I was watching that. They try to change it to Paw Patrol or something of that nature. And then, of course, when you're in the car and he says, we're not lost. And then his reply to his children, no, we are not there yet. Okay? And then, of course, if I have to stop this car, which I have used multiple times, but from Joseph, we get nothing, okay? Not a no, why me, God? Or not even a how can this be? We don't get that from Joseph. This is the man chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus, and all we know about him is that he was a carpenter, okay? Well, we know a few other things too, of course. We know he has a royal blood running through his veins. Matthew tells us that Joseph's genealogy runs through King David, okay? We also know that his marriage was arranged. That's just kind of how it was in those days. We can assume that Joseph had plans as a young man, just like we all do, just like we all did, okay? And it was in the midst of this dreaming that his life, his future, and his faith would be tested. So, if you will join me this morning in Matthew 1, 18 through 25, as we read this story together. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. All right, join with me as I read this. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband-to-be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This all happened so that what was spoken to by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord had told him. He took his wife, but did not have marital relations with her until she gave birth to a son, whom he named Jesus. So, we are going to start off this morning with Joseph's bad news, okay? We don't know exactly how Joseph found out that his fiancée was pregnant, but we can imagine the difficult conversations he must have had with Mary afterwards. I love how Matthew sums up all the awkwardness with the understated phrase, it was discovered, okay? Well, how was it discovered? Joseph hadn't yet had the benefit of the angelic visit that came afterwards. He had only heard the word of Mary, whom he likely hardly knew. Even though they were engaged to be married, the custom of those days was that in the year between the engagement and the consummation of their marriage, the bride and groom spent little time together, okay? So, imagine Joseph's shock when Mary told him that she was pregnant, okay? Joseph and Mary hadn't been intimate together. Joseph likely responded with stunned silence. She told him that she was not only pregnant, but that her baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, okay? Joseph's thoughts could have been something like this. Mary, are you serious? Or, how could you do this to me? Or, what do you mean you're still a virgin? That's impossible. Or he could have been more defensive and said, who did this to you? Where is he? But we don't get that from him. We read Matthew's account with the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight, okay? And he did not have that hindsight. So, we're going through our Advent readings and planning our Christmas calendars, right? We're putting up cute little nativity scenes and watching kids dress up like Joseph and Mary. But in this moment, when the shock of his situation hit him, Joseph couldn't see ahead toward what God was doing in the world through his seamlessly inconsensual life. This child inside his fiancée may be the Son of God. This child may be the true and better David. This child may save people from their sins and renew and restore the world. But for Joseph, this was his worst nightmare, right? Okay? So, let's put ourselves in his sandals. Okay? He hadn't seen the angel yet. He was just faithfully living his life, working as a carpenter, doing his best to build a life for his family. He trusted Mary to be faithful and devout, and he had pledged his life to her, okay? And yet it seemed as if she had betrayed him. Matthew says in chapter 1, verse 20, that he considered these things, okay? Joseph had some serious thinking to do. We don't know how long God waited between Gabriel's visit to Mary and the subsequent visit to Joseph. It could have been weeks. It could have been only days. We know he likely didn't get any sleep in this time of uncertainty and confusion, okay? We can imagine Joseph's nights, pacing, restless, considering these things. Joseph really only had two choices at this time that he thought. In those days, if a betrothed bride were found to have committed adultery, there were two options, okay? The plan of action most men would have taken is quite drastic. Joseph could publicly shame her by bringing her before the religious authorities, resulting in the forfeiture of the dowry he had paid to her father, and possibly even her death by stoning. We see this case in the adulterous woman in John 8, okay? When Jesus rescues from public execution. The other alternative would be to divorce her privately, okay? He would still endure embarrassment in his community and would face questions of his peers and family for what went wrong. But he'd also be obeying his conscience and doing what is best for Mary. On one shoulder, Joseph has the righteous requirements of God's law whispering in his ear. You have to expose her error, okay? This sin cannot go unpunished. That's what the scriptures told them. On the other shoulder is the compassion and mercy of God's law, which is also in here. Matthew tells us that Joseph was righteous, okay? And he tells us that before Joseph was told of Jesus' supernatural birth, we learn that he's a righteous man before all this happens. We don't know much about Joseph, but we do know this. He was a faithful follower of God who would do right when it cost him the most. Okay? He would be then a faithful steward of the Son of God. Okay? So enough with the bad news for Joseph. Let's look at some good news. God's good news, specifically. Okay? So, we know that the reason Joseph didn't go through with the divorce was because God would send a heavenly messenger to visit Joseph just as an angel had visited Mary. Okay? This time, God spoke to Joseph through a dream, recalling a heavenly word spoken to another Joseph. The angel refers to Joseph as a son of David, okay? God didn't pick just any first century Jewish man to steward the life of his son, okay? That just doesn't make sense about who God was. He picked a faithful son of David, okay? The only other person in the New Testament to be referred to as the son of David is Jesus. This title came with authority, reminding Joseph of his royal lineage and preparing him for the task ahead. This is also Matthew telling his readers that Jesus was a rightful son of David. Okay? Then the angel assured Joseph that the baby in Mary's room was not the fruit of sin, but it was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit. She had been chosen by God as the mother of Jesus. We don't know how this made Joseph feel, and we don't know if he recalled the scriptures read in the temple and the words of the prophets that described the future Messiah coming from a young virgin. But just in case, you know what? The angel reminded him of these scriptures. Perhaps this reality overwhelmed him, that this fullness of time had arrived. I mean, it's a lot to take in, right? The march of the salvation history, the fulfillment of prophecy, the long-awaited promise was on his doorstep and in his life. Okay? What a holy moment this must have been for Joseph. What a time to celebrate with holy awe and kneel in humble adoration. Like most Jews, Joseph would have grown up reading through the Old Testament. He would have known these stories, and maybe they weren't fresh on his mind in that moment when he found out, but he was starting to realize this picture coming into view. So, Joseph was a devout son of David, which is our next point. I find it interesting the way the angel appealed to Joseph in confirming the news of Mary's pregnancy. He first, as we noted above, called him son of David, appealing to the pride of his legacy, okay? You are of royal ancestry, he seems to be saying to this scared man. You are part of the people of God. The second, he appeals to him based on Scripture. This is the angel's reminder of him to fulfill Scripture. This tells us two things about the man who would be the earthly guardian of Jesus, okay? One is he knew who he was. Second, he was committed to Scripture. This is not a small thing. This is how the Bible appeals to followers of Jesus today. Know who you are as a Christian and know what the Bible says, okay? We have to have faith in who we are as believers. We have to know the Word. We have to be in the Word. Joseph's response was what you'd expect from a devout son of David committed to the Scripture. He immediately obeyed. Okay? Matthew tells us in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Okay? We assume Joseph was a man of few words. Okay? Because we don't know much about him. We don't have any sayings from him. This is all the information we really have. But we do know he was a man of simple faithfulness. All he did was obey. And it wasn't a minor thing to obey. It was a big deal. Okay? He did the right thing. So much of following God is asking, what is the right thing? Okay? It's hard. But that's where relying on God is important. Let's consider for a moment what Joseph was signing up for, okay? This was no easy assignment, like I said. In marrying Mary, he would be subject to endless scrutiny, okay? If you think he reacted strangely at first to Mary's conception by the Holy Spirit, how well do you think others in his immediate circle would react? Okay? And unlike Joseph, they would not have had the benefit of an angelic visit, okay? So try to picture that at the next dinner that they had as a family. So how did this happen again? Tell us the story again, because it just doesn't make sense. They'd either have to take his word or they just reject it. That would be the only options, really. In listening to the voice of God, Joseph was giving up his reputation, okay? By saying yes to God, Joseph was saying no to everything he had worked for, his reputation in the community. It's easy for us to glance over this and not give it another thought as we read this part of Matthew's gospel this Christmas. But we should pause and consider how significant the decision actually was. Joseph would bear the shame for the sins that he didn't even commit. That's how it would have been. Mary's sins would become his sins. Joseph could bear the shame in answering God's call, and we can bear the shame that sometimes comes with being a Christian, because Jesus, you know what? He bore our shame. We can live as outcasts in the world dominated by the devil because Jesus was the ultimate outcast. We learn later in Matthew that once Herod heard of the birth of Jesus and sought to kill him, Joseph was commanded by God to take the young infant and his wife Mary and leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt, okay? Again, we tend to pass over this detail as we read Scripture. But let's imagine the difficulty of travel in those days, okay? The added expenses and the severing of ties with families and friends, okay? And yet when the angel appeared to Joseph in another dream, Joseph didn't hesitate. He again immediately obeyed the voice of God, and he went to Egypt. This is why Hosea references this history when he says of God's care for Israel, "Out of Egypt I call my son." I'm a father in the throes of raising two children. If you are a parent or help take care of children, you know that parenting can be difficult. But imagine for a moment the difficulty of parenting the Son of God. I could not imagine that. We don't have much in the Scriptures about what Jesus' childhood looked like, okay? We only have his birth, his travel to Egypt as an infant, and his time in the temple at the age of 12. But we can assume that Joseph was father to Jesus in every sense of the word. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he still, as fully human young man, had to learn, and he still had to grow. Okay? Luke tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Joseph exhibited the true spirit of adoption here. It is a vivid picture for us, both of God's adoption of us and his children as in Christ, but also the call every believer of us as his children in Christ, but also the call has in welcoming us into our homes and communities, the world that's forgotten, those children that the world has forgotten. We can assume without stretching the story too much that Joseph patiently fathered Jesus, teaching him the Old Testament scriptures, teaching him how to build his carpentry shop, and modeling for his young son what faithful manhood looks like. Perhaps this was one of the reasons the rabbis in the temple were so impressed with Jesus. Because maybe Joseph was a devout father teaching his son what he was supposed to learn. And of course, he's the Son of God, which doesn't help, which helps. God visiting them, but was some of his recall of the Old Testament due to the teaching he had heard from his father. So he had supernatural understanding of Scripture, but he also had a father who was teaching him. And the last point is Joseph's legacy. So, ultimately, we don't know really what happens to Joseph after he is mentioned in the visit mentioned in that visit by Jesus to the temple at the age of 12. Okay? He doesn't show up again in the scriptures, and there is no reason to believe that perhaps he met an untimely death. Okay, that's what many scholars believe. In every other passage of scripture where the family is featured, it's only Mary and Jesus' siblings who are mentioned. Okay, given that he was likely older than Mary, and life expectancy for a first century peasant Jew was not great, it could be that losing his father was Jesus' first instance of human suffering. And so, here we see Joseph's legacy, okay? Barely mentioned in Scripture, forgotten mostly in church history, but remembered by God as a faithful servant. And for most of us, this can be our legacy as well, if we are willing, like Joseph, to stay and to say yes to God. And that's what we are ultimately called to do, is to say yes to God. I wanted to end with a video that we're going to watch, and then I'll close this in prayer, and we may be dismissed this morning.